This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
College football is back, and boy, did it make an entrance with week zero of the college football season. It gave us everything our hearts desired. It was a slate of four games. They were all supposed to suck. None of them sucked. Not even the Hawaii game. It ended up 21-point win, I think, from Hawaii still.
Yeah, and Delaware State missed their flight. Right. Still made it a game
by Delaware. That still counts because Hawaii was favored by something like 35.5 and 44, I think,
at one point. Yep.
On ESPN Bet when that line opened up. So they are delivering, the college football gods, and they are going to deliver once again this week for week one of the college football season. Notre Dame at Texas A&M, Clemson at Georgia, Miami at Florida. We've got some games coming up, Ian Fitzsimmons. And also, your summer of Ian is now over. You're back on the road. The world turns back the way that it's supposed to be with Ian Fitzsimmons never not working this college football season. Another man who's incredibly busy now that it's college football season is Cole Kublik, SEC college football analyst, and Cole's kind enough to join us here. Cole, let's start with that upset of Florida State there in Dublin, Ireland. Can Florida State, in Cole Kublik's opinion, realistically here, because technically I know it's obviously a possibility, realistically still make a college football playoff?
No, I don't believe so. I think you're a little bit limited offensively. I think you lost a little bit of juice from last year, and you're not going to be able to replicate some of the things that took you to that undefeated season, mainly playmakers at wide receiver down the field and a quarterback that could deliver the football consistently to those receivers down the field. Just don't think Florida State has that this year. And I think you can probably start to question their physicality as well, because that was a Georgia Tech football team that kind of pushed them around a little bit. And then that defense got after them and didn't get pushed around. So a little bit surprising in some parts of that game. I wasn't overly surprised with the outcome. Buster does an amazing job calling plays for that Georgia Tech offense. And when you got receivers blocking the way that Georgia Tech's receivers did, tight ends blocking the way that theirs did, along with backs that run as hard as they do, I mean, it appeared as though, and I hate this, it's an old cliche, it felt like Georgia Tech wanted it more. It really did when you put the film on and watched it. So I think there are a lot of issues with what Florida State's got going on. And you look down that schedule, it just doesn't feel like they're going to be able to find a way to reel everything together and make their way into the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were just talking to Brent Key, which, by the way, man, what a coup by you. How are you able to moonlight as a head coach at Georgia Tech and call games on the SEC network? That's impressive, Cole.
I actually told him this morning on our McElroy Kublik in the morning in Birmingham when he joined us that I was accused of that three different times on Saturday morning. So did not tell him you were one of them, but I did tell him that I was accused of that. So,
oh, we brought it up to him. We brought it up to him, to say the least.
Together.
Yeah, there you go, man. I mean, big old bald old lineman right there, just hanging tight. But to your point about, you know, how great their wide receivers are, Eric Singleton had two grabs. He's a heck of a player, but he blocked his tail off downfield, man. So we are in step with you on that one, Cole, to say the least. It was a very impressive win by the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech. Now let's go ahead and look ahead to this weekend. Go back to your playing days. What is game week like for all these dudes that are playing in marquee matchups, whether it's USC, LSU, Notre Dame, Texas A&M? What's game week like?
It's a relief right now, Ian, because you've been going through, well, we went through two-a-day practices. They don't do that anymore. But you're beating up on your own team. Everybody knows your calls at this point, so they know what the protections are, the run checks are. The defense is always cheating the offense. The offense knows who to go after on the defense. And it's you almost get to a point where you don't quite get as much as you need to. And so it's good that you can start working on somebody else. It's good that you can start working on another team. And guys are just ready to compete. You know, camps are a little bit longer now because you don't jam as much into certain days. So they spread it out just a little bit more to give you more days off. And I think the off seasons are longer too. I mean, guys are changing schools, going into different systems and schemes.
Whoops!
I think we might have lost him.
Yep, we'll get him back here in a second.
He was rolling too. Yeah, James will work on that.
Then he went back to his playing days for a second.
Yeah, well, no, he was rolling though, and I mean, it is week one. You are ready, right? This is what you spend the summer thinking about. This is what you spend all of that time in practice getting ready for. And like he was saying, the schedule is different than his playing days now, ramping up. But that probably makes these guys even all the more anxious to get out there, get on this field, and get it going, Ian.
No doubt about it. I'm excited to also get his thoughts on his favorite matchups this weekend. I think Notre Dame is got a tough one. I think Penn State has got a very difficult one. And then USC, LSU, where we're going to be with our crew. Those are two teams that are looking in a mirror, Amber. Both teams lost Heisman Trophy winners. Both mm-hmm. teams couldn't stop you and I defensively last year. They are mirror images of one another, and it's in a neutral site game out in Vegas. And we got Cole back here. So, Cole, you were on a roll there, man, and we appreciate your time as always here on ESPN Radio. Cole will be with us every Wednesday going forward for his weekly hit. If there's one game that you have circled of a be careful type, you know, game, whether it's Notre Dame, A&M, Penn State, West Virginia, what's that one squad that you're looking at going, man, you better be careful coming into this matchup?
Yeah, I don't have the Notre Dame Texas A&M game as a be careful. I got Texas A&M winning that game.
I do too.
Final dominate. I think Notre Dame's got some issues up front. They're dinged up. They're hurt. And that is not a defensive line with Shamar Stewart, Shamar Turner, Nick Scorton that you want to mess with. So that's one that I would immediately look at and say, I think it goes the other way. I think Florida's got a really good chance of getting Miami. And you're talking about putting Cam Ward in a new offense with new skill guys around him and a Florida team that I know people just don't think is good. I'm not buying that. A quarterback in Graham Mertz that's very good. That a lot of those guys have been on the same page, have been together. I'm interested to see the health of Montrell Johnson at running back for Florida. That'll be big for them. But that's a dangerous one. And I'm just going to throw this one out too, because I think some people have kind of had some fun with it, but then they just dismiss it. Colorado better be careful with North Dakota State, because they play a brand of football that Colorado has not really shown that they enjoy in the last year or so. And I did hear a press conference with something along the likes of, oh, we won't have to show much in that one that was thrown out. And I would be prepared to throw a lot out to take on the Bison, because they're not going to be messing around no matter who they're playing.
Gosh, Coach Prime, he'd have to ban everybody from press conferences if they go out and lose that game. He's not going to like any of the media with what they'd have to say after that one. Cole Kublik, SEC college football analyst, joining us here on Amber and Ian. Cole, obviously we have a lot of conference realignment to adjust to. We're all getting used to it. The SEC now has 16 teams because of Texas and Oklahoma. A lot of people think that Texas has a shot of winning this conference. As an SEC gal, I almost feel like that would be disrespectful to the SEC if Texas can just waltz in here, okay, and then just overcome. I understand they're going to be good this season, but just overtake the big, bad SEC. What are your thoughts there?
Well, first off, Amber, I'd be nervous because you're already pretty dinged up. You've lost two running backs for the season. A couple other guys in camp are a little bit nicked up, which that's a little bit everywhere, but it seems to be becoming a little bit more of a trend for Texas. You had two defensive tackles in the middle of that defense last year that allowed you to do a lot of different things, play a lot of different coverages, not have to load the box, not have to have extra defenders dedicated to the run game. They ate up a lot of space and caused a lot of problems. I don't think they're going to have that kind of guy. Now, Trey Moore from UTSA off the edge could be a different type pass rusher than they've had. The schedule is not as bad as a lot of other SEC teams, but if you're beat up and you're thin, going to Arkansas late in the year, which that game's going to mean a ton to them, going to A&M late in the year, getting Florida and Kentucky late in the year. I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you, if there is a back alley brawl fist fight football team in the SEC, Kentucky fits the bill for that one. It's not a team that you want to try to have to go toe-to-toe with physically late in the year, and they're going to get them November 23rd. So I'm really interested to see that matchup at Michigan week two, because I think that might be the best front seven in college football going against one of the better offensive lines that Texas brings to the table, and be a hell of a matchup just to see how that one goes. But Georgia going to be tough. Oklahoma's obviously going to be tough. So I talked to Dan Mullen about it a couple weeks ago on my podcast, and said, just tell me if this is real, Coach, because we all think it. We all believe it. You've lived it. You were in the Pac-12. You were in the MAC. You've been in the SEC. He just said, listen, physically, that grind is going to take its toll. It's going to be different in late October, middle of November. And I think, too, Amber, the mental and emotional part
is going to be a little bit different. I mean, I bet there's a lot of kids at Texas, and nothing against them, but they probably don't think going to play at Kroger Field is a big deal, or Razorback Stadium is a big deal. They probably don't think, you know, that having to go play at some of these road venues that they're going to have to play at is going to be very difficult, but it will be. And then, two, just the stress that the attention you're going to get, some of the hate that you're going to get. It just means more here in the SEC. That's because we love to hate more than we love to love. So that's just another part of it that they're going to have to be used to through this entire season.
You ain't lying. Definitely going to be a whole new season to navigate here for those Texas Longhorns and also for the Oklahoma Sooners. But I'm not sure anybody's giving them quite as much of a chance their first year joining that monster conference. Cole Kublik, he covers it all. Speaking of that monster conference, SEC college football analyst. Thanks, Cole. We appreciate it.
Sorry about the technical issues, guys, but always appreciate you having me. Looking forward to being with you this season.
Come on with it, big fellow. Appreciate you, man.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we continue with our ESPN Radio NFL two-a-days. The last two-a-day of our off-season. And, of course, we have to finish it with James Steele's Kansas City Chiefs. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines. All from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod at checkout.
This is 180! ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days. The Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Adam Teicher covering the Chiefs. Several long passes to rookie Xavier Worthy at training camp and in the preseason sparked hope among the Chiefs that their downfield attack is back. The Chiefs, in order to generate more big plays, went for speed at wideout in the offseason, drafting Worthy and signing veteran Hollywood Brown. Brown dislocated his shoulder and could miss a game or two early in the regular season. But quarterback Patrick Mahomes said Brown's temporary absence won't change their plans to get the ball down the field. Mahomes said, "We've done a great job of mastering the intermediate and short stuff. We want to get back to having that part of our offense as well."
Patrick Mahomes, Ian, he had only 4 touchdowns and 6 interceptions on throws more than 20 yards beyond the line of scrimmage the past 2 seasons. He sucks. He sucks when he's trying to throw long bombs. That's what we know about Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, as we
continue on with our ESPN NFL two-a-days. But you did hear it there. There is a reality where actually pushing the ball really far downfield was an issue for this Kansas City Chiefs team. I feel stupid talking about issues for this Kansas City Chiefs team, but that is why they go out and get Xavier Worthy. And it is why Hollywood Brown is supposed to be the answer to their prayers and Juju, and they are shoring up
things. I don't
know
about Juju now,
Rice,
but go ahead.
Right? But it feels, I will say this about that, because people are saying, oh, well, this could be the best wide receiver room in a while that Patrick Mahomes has had to work with. What we learned last season was it doesn't matter. I mean, the stat I just gave you, fine, great. Like, if he would prefer to be able to throw more touchdowns on long bombs, great. But obviously, they're winning a Super Bowl either damn way. So I don't really know if that the receiver by committee approach, which frankly, this feels like that once again to me. I don't know if it raises many alarms for me anymore with that guy under center.
Well, to your point, their wide receivers had the most drops of any team in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
Still hoisted the Lombardi. It doesn't matter. So bringing in Xavier Worthy, having seen him a lot in person at Texas, dude can fly, and he's fearless. It's not just one route. I mean, he'll go over the middle for you if you want him to. They won't ask him to, but he can. He's an outstanding returner and a burner. And then Hollywood Brown comes back off that shoulder injury probably by the latest week three. So you add him into the mix also. They got better. They did. You know what? And their running back room also got deeper. They got a sleeper here in free agency with a rookie and my guy Carson Steele. This dude is awesome. I can't remember his massive pet python. He's got this white python. If anybody remembers his name, James Steele probably does. What is Carson Steele's? Is it Thor? Was that his python's name?
I'm not sure. I'll look to see if I can find it.
Pet He's got some other exotic names. That's where we're at with our analysis of Kansas City.
No, well, trust me. I saw this dude
because his team's so boring because they won't stop winning.
Right? Yeah, that's where we go to. That dude can tote it. So you've got three guys now in that backfield that it adds even more depth. Carson Steele is going to make this team, and he'll have a bit of an impact whether it's on special teams or adding depth to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Isaiah Pacheco, because that's one of the guys I was saying the Cowboys, along with Cody Schrader out of Missouri, should take a good hard look at, and they didn't. They're rolling with Zeke and Rico Dowdle. Well, what does Kansas City do? Because they're the Chiefs? Yeah, we'll take this dude who nobody picked up, who is just a mean SOB, and is a bit crazy, because he's got things like white pet pythons,
pet python.
And he lets it off, choke him around his neck, named Thor, whatever the hell the damn thing's name was.
Thor. I hope it's named something like, you know, like cute.
I know the alligator name is all over. I can't find the snake, though.
Oh, it was the alligator. Yeah, it was the alligator. That was it.
Yeah,
sorry, it wasn't
a
python. It was an alligator.
Yeah,
my bad.
Z.
Yeah, it's just so much safer.
What's his alligator's name?
Crocky J.
That's a cute name for an alligator.
Though.
Wrong species, but cute name. I think we're
a little
confused.
Name.
Well, I mean, but Crocky would be more appropriate for a crocodile. But listen, nobody ever said that everybody playing on Kansas City is the sharpest tools in the shed.
It's all coming back to me now. So when we talked to him before the Utah game last year,
sorry,
yeah,
James.
He thought that it was an alligator when he got it as when he was young, like 9, 10 years old.
Oh, he thought it was a crocodile, you
right,
mean?
Right, that's why I named it Crocky J, ended up being an alligator.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody should have either of those things as pets. I think that's important to state here.
I'm definitely rooting for him to make the team because it'd be cool to have a guy on the field with the last name Steele on their back, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You would buy that uni so quickly.
I'll get the kids a couple of T-shirts. You know?
There you go.
Well, regardless, the Kansas City Chiefs, with or without a pet alligator in the fray, I think are going to be pretty good once again. And the thing is with Kansas City is we spend so much time talking about that team's offense because of who they have under center. When it was really Smagnola's second-ranked scoring defense that held down the fort during the regular season for a Kansas City team that otherwise looked, you know, human during the actual regular season this past season. Clearly playoffs a different situation for that Kansas City team, and they go on to win another Super Bowl. So will it look any different without L'Jarius Sneed? Probably not, because they just replaced him with another all-pro. Kansas City just seems to have this thing figured out. But let's play a little best case, worst case with the Chiefs.
Best case.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Worst case.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
It was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Best case, worst case with Amber and Ian.
All right, Ian Fitzsimmons, what is the best case scenario for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Three-peat, first ever do it. It's that simple.
Yeah.
I know. Worst. What?
I don't think it's happening, but that is the best case scenario.
Yeah.
It's hard to dispute that because they're in a position for it to happen. So I'm not going to put their ceiling lower than that, lower than the three-peat. I don't think it's going to happen, but it can happen. Obviously, this team once again is in a position for that to happen. right?
I was waiting on James to chime in.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't really need that.
You guys' room. I mean, you know, that's literally the best case. You can't. I mean,
you can't get better than a three-peat, which no one's ever done in NFL history. There is no better case.
Can't make it up.
There is no better. Well, going undefeated and doing it, that would be the better case.
All right, yeah, that's fair. I'm in. Let's do it.
God. That'd be so obnoxious. Chris Canty,
Unsportsmanlike last week said this might be the best version that we'll see of the Chiefs.
Really? Eh, he says a lot.
They're loaded. They are just so stinking loaded.
I'm really excited to see what the offense looks like, for sure.
Really, you don't say. You're excited to see your Super Bowl winning back-to-back Kansas City Chiefs offense and what it looks like with the greatest quarterback who's potentially ever lived, but certainly the greatest of this generation.
I'm going to cut that for later. But, you know, they got some speed on the outside now. Like, that's one of the reasons why Travis Kelce was a little bit human. That and his, you know, he hurt his,
couldn't stretch the field.
His knee, yeah, yep. Early in the season. But, like, there was no room. There was no room for him to operate. And then there was no Juju like there was the year before to kind of almost be the similar guy. So at least there was two options to throw to. So
I don't think your receivers are still going to be.
No, they're good. Rashee Rice is really good.
It's fine.
But like you have Mecole Hardman's back. He can run. And Xavier Worthy
it's
now.
Fine. It's fine. It's receiver by committee again. None of them are going to be studs.
There's no number one.
Studs. There's
like
no
Travis
number
Kelce is
they
the
don't need
one
there. Yeah.
Worst case scenario, worst they case. Get to the Super Bowl and lose. There
really?
You go.
Really? No, stop. You have them in the Super Bowl no matter what? No.
Yes.
No, worst case yes. scenario. No. Worst case scenario.
Worst case, they get there and lose.
No, worst case scenario is they're in a loaded AFC and they don't even end up making an AFC championship. That's worst case scenario, but certainly losing an AFC championship.
That's
it's
your
a
worst
loaded
case.
Conference.
Mine is they get there and lose.
You think that they're making it no matter what to a Super Bowl? You're making James way too happy. Plenty more coming up on ESPN Radio.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
We're rolling along here on Amber and Ian. You can always hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. You can also find us on the old X. At Ian Fitz ESPN is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. Let's find out what is a big deal and what's not a big deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And our producer, James Steele. Hello, James.
Hi, guys. Let's
wait,
start.
Wait, what was the conversation? Before we get started, James, what was the conversation I just walked into? Okay. I went and got a cup of water, came back, and you guys were talking about gamers and...
You're doing this here?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, sure. So I was just saying that a friend of ours, Jerry, he works over in TV now. He used to do a lot of the imaging for the morning show here on ESPN Radio, sent an Instagram post. It's a screenshot of a graphic on a local Fox News station, and it says, the least attractive male hobbies.
One, to women.
Yeah, one, playing video games. Two, collecting figurines. I'm 0 for 2 right now. Three, Three, three magic tricks, four online trolling, and five gambling.
All right. We have our resident female.
Well, and I said I 100% agree with the video games thing. Sorry, guys. I just do. Gamers, not attractive. Because when I, and then Renee Canales, our associate producer, and I got all offended because Renee likes to dabble in the video games. And obviously, so does James Steele. Yeah. James is married, though, so this conversation doesn't apply. She already signed up for this deal. But the reality is, when I think of gamers, like, I mean, unless you're out here winning like a world championship with gaming, because like apparently now it's like an actual,
they make a lot of money,
know, thing, apparently, some of these. Right. But when I think of guys that sit around playing video games, like I don't know, like, not to offend anybody, but there's no way to do this without offending people, right? But I associate it. I associate it with, like, you're going to be lazy, you're going to be unhealthy, and you're not going to pay any attention to me.
Yeah, awful hygiene.
So what
hygiene.
The hell is the point? Yeah, that, well, like, and maybe it's not awful. Like, maybe you take a couple showers, but you're not going to pay me any attention. So why am I signing up for this? What is the attractiveness about guys who spend all of their time and attention on video games from the female perspective? What are you bringing to the table for me? And
like Renee, big deal, not a big deal. Go.
No, this is a huge deal. This is it's not even a big deal. It's huge. I mean, like, would you rather us be in the streets, you know, doing, you know, who knows what?
Or
would
those you, are my choices.
No, but hold on.
You either are going to be in the streets or you're going to play video games. Got it.
Yeah, or would you rather us be on the sticks knowing that we're home and then we'll eventually get off and pay attention to you?
But will ya? I don't know. Is it any different? So you're saying basically, like, would you rather us be out here, like, or looking for other women or running around on you? Or would you rather me be running around on you with the video game that I'm paying more attention to than you? Either way, it doesn't really sound like a great deal for me from the female perspective.
Well, I never said we were out there looking for women. I just said out there in the streets. That's
we all know
just,
what that
you know,
means,
that's just jumping to conclusions.
We've all been in the streets. We all know what it means.
We're out you, you know what I'm saying?
I can listen to these two go at this for hours. This is thoroughly entertaining in my focus group of one.
I'd rather 2 hours playing, you know, playing on the sticks and then, you know, getting off and then, you know, spending time with the lady.
The other hobbies that it mentions, well, I guess the gambling aspect, I think it depends, like, what we're talking about with gambling. Like, sports betting doesn't take up that much time. So I think that's what, I think that, it would all depend on that. The figurines thing, I don't, like, how much time are they spending collecting? That's not really the gripe for me. It's not, it's more the lack of attention that would be given from playing video games that I agree with. I don't necessarily agree with the others on this list.
Do you need attention like 24/7? You can't like
no, but like maybe like one for
you're just like equating this to like never not playing video games.
Basically, that's what when I think of gamers, that's what I think
of. Just
like the majority
games
of your life revolves around that.
Yeah, but like what if you had, you know, what if you had a long day at work and you just need some time to cool down? You get on the sticks with the boys, you know, shoot a couple hoops, throw a couple touchdowns, you know, then you call it a day, then you go on about your married life. That's it.
I mean, all right, but then, like, where are you spending time with the woman? And then it's not like you're shooting hoops with the boys and doing something healthy for yourself. You're just...
You're eating Cheetos off your belly.
For your mental health.
You're just on the video game.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like, oh, look, a Cheeto on the side of the couch.
Unless you find a girlfriend who's also a gamer, in which case she can partake with you, and maybe it's a couple.
And then you hate her too.
Couple's event.
I'm so glad I brought this
I've
up.
I've never dated a guy who plays video games, to be perfectly honest with you. I've never had.
Oh, so clearly, you could be missing something. You never know.
Or I did not find it attractive, obviously.
What if your son turns out to be a gamer?
No, hell no. Oh. Hell
nah,
to the
I
nah.
know. What do you mean hell no? What
no,
if he turns out to be a gamer?
No, that's not happening. No.
You can't say that. He's nope. going to end up wanting to play video
not
games.
Happening.
It'll be
unless
the PlayStation
you're making me millions of dollars with one of these competitions, ain't happening.
He'll have the PlayStation 8 by that time.
Well, he'll never be able to do that unless you buy him a PlayStation 8.
We should be way ahead of 8. How are we on iPhone 500 and we're on PlayStation 8?
Yeah, we're at 5 right now, so.
How are we only on PlayStation 5? Like, PlayStation 1 came out, like, what, 30 years ago? Like, what? Like, how are we only on 5?
Yes. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We're at 5 right now.
Same. I feel like there's not been much advancements in that regard.
I mean, you can't have one every year.
Why not? iPhone does it. And then they break your old one. And then they got sued for that. All right. Are we moving on?
Big deal, not a big deal. But I'm like 5 for 5 on those, and I'm still married.
Well, you're married. She signed up early, though. You guys got married young as hell.
It's a huge deal.
We all made very big mistakes when we were young, James, but she's locked in.
Ouch.
Damn.
You did the right thing, though. You locked her down before she could figure it out.
All right, we lost James. We lost James.
Wow.
That was a gut shot.
That's offensive.
That's a slow bleed out
right
there, too, man.
Also, you probably weren't playing video games. You were in the armed forces.
Yeah, what do you think I did whenever I wasn't?
Defending our country?
Pumping gas.
Yeah, defending our country. I was wondering where he was going to go with that.
Also, I was like 500 miles away from Lisa whenever I was in.
Well, there you go. You had plenty of time. See, she just didn't know. That's what it was. She was none the wiser.
She knew. She knew what she was getting herself into. Might have been a mistake, but she knew. All right.
Bottom line is, put a bow on it. Amber thinks that gamers are nerds. But there was a movie called Revenge of the
Nerds.
The nerds are better at something than the jocks.
I don't think all gamers are nerds. I just did not. That particular hobby, I do not think of it as an attractive hobby for females, which is what that list told you.
There we go. And Renee thought it was a big deal.
But men having a hard time accepting that, apparently.
That's 5 for 5 on those. I have a big-time Chris Jericho action figure collection. Anyway.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. And moving on.
Adam Schefter.
Which is also probably not that hot, but, you know, who knows?
Adam Schefter tweeted on Friday, breaking 58 shoulder while engaging in an activity to determine the draft order in his fantasy football league. At ESPN Fantasy Ultimate Draft Weekend in the Bahamas, Field Yates dislocated his shoulder, per sources. The injury resulted in a brief hospitalization, but Field is now was discharged soon afterwards and aiming to be ready for opening day. Big deal, not a big deal, Ian, that Field Yates injured his shoulder
on a beach with a blow-up tackling dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. Yes, pathetic deal.
Funny
and,
deal.
And I thought we were worried about T&E. We're going to the Bahamas for a draft. Good Lord, man. But anyway, yes, it's a big deal.
I thought that, too. I was like,
it's a blow-up tackling dummy, and you separate your shoulder on a beach with a blow-up tackling dummy. Field, you played college football. What's wrong with you, buddy? Yeah, it's a big deal.
Oh, man, it was a funny deal is what it was. But also it was a refreshing deal because all we see in the world of sports is these dudes. Like we just saw, even with a NASCAR driver, there was a NASCAR driver, and his name escapes me because I'm not
sure. It was a truck driver. He was his fist was on the truck series.
He wins the race, and he gets out of the car, and then he's pumping his fist to celebrate, dislocates his shoulder, walks over to his crew, his pit crew, they pop it back into place. I feel like we see that in sports all the time where like the NFL player, you know, walks off the field, dislocated shoulder. They just give a little pop and they go back to business. Field Yates is actually showing us what it's really like when he ends up in the hospital for it, which I feel like is more realistic and probably what would happen to most of us if we dislocated our shoulder.
It's unfortunate for Brother Field, but it wouldn't have happened if he would have
just
came
on
for
video
a phoner.
Games.
No. If you came on for the phoner on Amber and Ian on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That was bad karma.
Holding a grudge.
With him standing us up. Bad karma. We got anything else, James?
Yeah, probably. Blue Jays turned Red Sox catcher Danny Jansen didn't just play for both teams in the same game, first in Major League history. He played for both teams in the same inning. Jansen became the first Major Leaguer to ever appear on both sides of a baseball box score. When he took the field for Boston on Monday in the resumption of a rain-delayed game, he started for Toronto in June before he was traded to the Red Sox. He actually caught his own at-bat.
They actually had a pinch hit for him, so right? I can't remember who pinch hit for him, right, James?
I think it was an 0-1 count.
Yep.
And then the game was delayed and postponed.
2 months, right?
Yeah.
Two months.
And then they had to pinch hit for him, obviously, because now he's the catcher.
Right.
Yeah. So, he caught his own pinch hit. So he caught his own at bat.
It's unbelievable.
Not a big deal, Amber.
That's a big deal. That's a hilarious deal, is what that is, Ian. That's an awesome deal.
It's awesome. It's obvious. The Cooperstown was there to document it. I mean, you know, paraphernalia of like whether it's mitt or the ball is going to Cooperstown. It's never happened before. When I read this whole story, I mean, I was damn near in tears. Like, how does this happen? Oh, that's how it happens. Where you start an at-bat, you're down 0-1, rain delay, call the game, make it up 2 months later, but you've been traded, and now you are catching your own at-bat on the team you're playing in the same game. You can't make it up. It's absolutely outstanding. I love everything there is about this story.
If you're him, you had to frame both box scores.
Oh, yeah.
Pictures of you in both uniforms.
Your grandkids will never believe it.
It's unbelievable. It's pretty cool. James?
One more real quick. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa said he hasn't heard from Brian Flores after the two publicly exchanged comments about the nature of their relationship last week. Speaking to local media on Monday, Tua said that he didn't have anything to add to the comments he made about his former coach and that Flores hadn't reached out to him. Big deal, not a big deal, Amber.
This is not a big deal, and I heard Freddie and Harry going off about this, like as if Tua was out here making a big deal about the fact that he hadn't heard from Flores. I'm pretty sure he answered a question about,
correct,
have you heard from Brian Flores? And he said, no, I don't think he was making a big deal about not hearing from his former head coach. I thought what was more significant in there as a deal, Ian, was the fact that he said he's got nothing to add, which kind of means that he also has nothing to retract. And that's the long and the short of it. He knew what he was doing. Tua knew what he was doing when he sat 100%. Down with Dan Le Batard, and he chose his words carefully, and he told his truth. It is what it is.
Yeah, and if I were Brian Flores, if you really have changed and you are kind of a different coach and a different person, I would have reached out to Tua and say, I didn't realize I was that bad. I was that hard on you. Best of luck. That's all you got to do. Because then Tua says that. Like, hey, Flores reached out to me, and we're moving on.
Right. Yeah.
And it paints Flores in a better light. So.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Flores said all the right things at the press conference afterwards, but at the end of the day, I don't, you know, Tua and him have the history that they have and no love lost, I don't think, from Tua Tagovailoa when it comes to now the defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. All right. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Aaron Judge will not stop hitting home runs. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Tonight, our producers, James Steele and Renee Canales, have clearly produced the hell out of the show because somehow our segments tonight have included an entire breakdown of the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs, obviously courtesy there of James Steele, and now we're supposed to talk about Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees, of course, courtesy of Renee Canales. So this rundown has the handprints of both of you all over it.
I'm just doing what I'm told to do with the 2-a-day stuff. It just so happened to be that they saved the best team for last, and that's it.
Yes.
And we're also talking about the greatest player in baseball right now at the end of the show. You know,
well, at Shohei guy may have something to say also, but look, what Aaron Judge is doing right now.
He just scoffed at Shohei.
Right, I know. Right, like the guy's JV. But
guy.
Yeah, just 40-40. You know, I mean,
it's not 62 or 51 right now.
We're at 51. Relax. Hey, Renee, we're probably getting to 62.
Oh. Keep your pants on. Calm down. All I'm saying is, you mentioned greatest baseball player ever. What Aaron Judge is doing right now, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's remarkable. I damn near bow down to the guy. He's done something that only four other dudes have ever done in the history of the game. You know, and it almost leaves you speechless. And that idiotic Staten Island Little League World Series skipper, Bob Laporza, or whatever his name is. I don't know if you hacked Aaron Judge off even more, because ever since, he's just been raking. Now with, 51 bombs? I mean, that's his third time with 50 home runs in a season. I mean, Willie Mays never did that. I mean, Hank Aaron never did that. Aaron Judge, and he's also – that's what drove me nuts about the Staten Island skipper, right, where the Yankees were had already invited his entire team, even after they were eliminated from the Little League World Series, to come to Yankee Stadium, go on the field, all that stuff. I would uninvite that dude because of what he said about Aaron Judge. Your players can come along with their parents. They can bring their doggies if they want to. But you ain't coming, right? Because Aaron Judge is one of the more accommodating superstars in all of sports. And he is dominating in a way that we have not seen in a very, very, very long time. He is an elite of elite company. And he's a blast to watch because he's a good guy. He's not an ass like Barry Bonds was. This dude is actually a really good guy who is one of the best at his craft right now. It's awesome to watch.
Only Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa have gotten to that 60 homer barrier multiple times. But what's more impressive is Aaron Judge is already at 51 again here, right? So he's at 51 with 31 games left for the New York Yankees. 31 games left. He didn't homer tonight, by the way, as the Yanks pulled off a win over the Nationals. But he's in a position to obviously exceed 60 again. But what we're talking about at 51 is still already unbelievably exclusive company. Babe Ruth, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Alex Rodriguez. That is the list.
That's the list.
Of
crazy, right?
Players in MLB history to hit at least 50 in three separate seasons. Now, notice something about that list that Greeny kept pointing out today. Mike Greenberg kept pointing out today on Greeny. And I thought that it was interesting because he kept saying, if you take the guys who we know use performance-enhancing drugs, whatever you think about that, doesn't really matter. But if you take them off the list, then there's really only two guys in Major League Baseball history who have ever accomplished this feat. It is Babe Ruth and it is Aaron Judge. And that is it. Like, he has not, he's doing something then, if you take the PEDs out of it, that no one has done since Babe Ruth. Here is Mike Greenberg on Greeny today talking about how great Aaron Judge is.
Aaron Judge is not getting enough attention, or at least he's not getting the right attention. What should be said of him is he is now knocking on the door of the greatest home run hitters that ever lived, with no equivocation, no explanation, and nothing further. That isn't a comma, it's a period. Aaron Judge is on the short list of greatest home run hitters that ever lived. Period. We move on.
I don't disagree.
Damn right.
Hey, look, Babe Ruth, Blondie from the top rope. You know, Babe Ruth was doing this on hot dogs, brisket, burgers, beer, and whiskey, right?
I know. And it's funny to me because Greeny kept saying today, too, like, oh, if we take the performance enhancers off. And I'm thinking, yeah, but like Babe Ruth had different enhancers. Like, I don't know. Is the whiskey helping him out there?
Like, right, I mean,
he's out there smoking cigarettes. What he's like? Is that all? Like, what he was doing? Other, and goodness knows. I mean, wasn't there like you know, cocaine and Coca-Cola back then? Like, I don't know what they had going on back in Babe Ruth's
day. Wow, did you just accuse George Herman Ruth of doing the booger sugar while trying to play baseball?
I don't know. Okay, all I'm saying is the testing wasn't quite as rigorous as what Aaron Judge is having to adhere to, nor was the competition, I would imagine, from an athletic perspective anyways.
Look, and his union on the called shot game, $24.1 million. There's a lot of things that I could do with $24.1 million besides buying a uni. But anyway, what Judge is doing, it's iconic. I mean, he's going down in baseball lore. I mean, he did it with fixed teeth and weights and just great eye-hand coordination. That's Aaron Judge right now. And one of my favorite things about him is watching whenever they cut away to it in pregame where he's playing a long toss with some kid in the stands. He is accommodating, self-deprecating at times, and he just wants to come out and whip your butt every single game. Love watching the guy play, and he's doing it at such an incredible level.
If you don't know what Ian was just referencing with the $24 million, it's because Babe Ruth's jersey from the he called a shot game in game 3 of the 1932 World Series, His jersey just sold for $24.12 million at Heritage Auction. It set the auction record for the most expensive sports collectible in sports collecting.
You think
history.
The guy that bought it for $950,000 back in 2005 made a good deal?
Well, that's why you also pay $24 million, because I think that person also thinks that they're Ooh. Getting a deal. So yeah, $950,000 in 1995 probably seemed like a lot of money for that jersey. And it seems like a hell of an investment now, all these years later. We'll see if it works out for the next guy.